9 months in jail plus another 18 months in the state's therapeutic court program. That's the sentence for Tyler Emerson, a young Juneau man arrested for violating his probation following an earlier conviction for causing an accident that killed his friend Taylor White. 21-year-old Emerson was pulled over on North Douglas Highway in June after speeding with two people in his vehicle. He was not drunk, but he had been drinking and had alcohol in his vehicle. That's a probation violation. During yesterday's disposition hearing on that violation, neither defense nor prosecution made any arguments on a potential sentence. Instead, they announced that they had reached an agreement. Emerson has been at Lemon Creek Correctional Center for the last 2 months after spending the summer in the third-party custody of his father while he was commercial fishing. Emerson, who had previously declined comments, stood up in court, cuffed, and still dressed in prison yellow, and accepted responsibility as about a dozen friends and family members listened in the gallery.
I'd just like to say I'm sorry. I showed another horrible lapse of judgment, put the safety of others in danger, and I'd just like to offer an apology to those affected, this court, and the community in general. That being said, I know that given this chance to participate in therapeutic court, I'll be able to address all these issues that manifested in this violation, be able to move forward, put all this behind me, and just, most importantly, make sure this never happens again.
Of the suspended prison sentence from the earlier conviction, 9 months was imposed. He has roughly 7 months left with credit for time already served. Then he'll be enrolled in the 18-month therapeutic court program that usually takes in drunk drivers and other drug offenders. It's a diversion program that includes anti-alcohol treatment, daily drug testing, counseling, and constant monitoring by the court to stay on track to rehabilitation. Those who stick with the program are less likely to offend again, and it's more cost-effective than simply incarcerating offenders. Emerson will be on probation for 5 years. Taylor White was a passenger in Emerson's vehicle during an accident in 2009 at 37-mile Glacier Highway that also involved alcohol. And go online to our website at ktoo.org, and we have links to previous stories about the therapeutic court program, including an in-depth profile of the program and how it may be effective. The Juneau Assembly is now on record as supporting an extension of electric power to Cascade Point at the end of Glacier Highway. A resolution adopted at a special meeting last night says an extension of power would support economic and housing development as well as public safety at the road while reducing dependence on diesel fuel for power generation. But Auk Bay resident Carla Hart criticized the measure for what it doesn't say, namely that extending power would also benefit the Kensington Mine and other mining developments in the area, as well as major landowners like Goldbelt Corporation.
I just don't see that this is well thought out in terms of public policy. It feels very much like it's being pushed through for some private special interests.
Hart also criticized the lack of public input on the resolution. The idea was first floated by Mayor Merrill Sanford in an assembly retreat in October. Deputy Mayor Mary Becker made a motion requesting a draft resolution last week, and a copy was first made public on Monday. Hart said she first learned that the resolution was coming up for a vote an hour before yesterday's meeting.
This is tying in with a lot of things that you realize are pretty controversial in the community. To just push this through and ask for it in a big hurry without any understanding of what's going on by most of the community is irresponsible, in my opinion.
Mayor Sanford pointed to letters written to Juneau's legislative delegation last session seeking state funding for an extension of electrical infrastructure. Officials from Kensington, Goldbelt, and the Juneau Building and Construction Trades Council were among those who wrote the letters. Sanford says the project has been discussed on and off in various forums for years.
At Southeast Conference, we dealt with it as one of the options of getting out to the mine. So we've had lots of opportunity to go through, and you can see by the people who have written or have supported this that there is a lot of support within the community.
Hart replied that she still felt that the resolution deserved more scrutiny.
Most of us who are private individuals in the community are not members of Southeast Conference. It's an expensive organization to join as an individual, and it's expensive to go to their meetings. And so most of us, that Southeast Conference, while it's a venue for some of you, it's not a public venue in the sense of a public Juneau citizen voter community discussion.
Assemblymember Lauren Jones objected when Sanford asked if the Assembly wanted to adopt the resolution on a unanimous vote. Jones asked two questions, including how much it would cost to extend power to the end of the road. For the answer, Sanford called upon Duff Mitchell, vice president and business manager of Juneau Hydropower Incorporated, who said he thought it would be about $20 million. Juneau Hydropower is seeking to develop a hydroelectric project at Sweetheart Lake, about 30 miles southeast of the capital city. The company's website says Juneau Hydropower hopes to produce green, renewable energy for the wholesale and industrial market. Jones removed his objection, and the resolution passed on a unanimous vote. Alaska Native leaders are in Washington, D.C. for the White House Tribal Nations Conference. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, they're using the time to voice concerns over federal mismanagement.
This was the fourth annual Tribal Nations Conference, something President Barack Obama made light of in his remarks.
Now, 3 years ago, I was proud to see that this conference was the largest gathering of tribal leaders in our history. And back then, an event like this was rare. Today, it's gotten a routine.
Mr. Obama used the day to highlight what he considers to be his administration's successes in Indian country.
We focused on justice and tribal sovereignty. Longstanding legal disputes like the Cobell case have been resolved. I signed into law the Tribal Law and Order Act, which is helping to fight crime. These are all important steps, but we've got more work to do. With domestic violence so prevalent on reservations, we're pushing Congress to restore your power to bring to justice anyone, Indian or non-Indian, who hurts a woman.
But not everyone in attendance was as willing to tally a list of administration successes.
I'm one of those that have been around long enough that I'm not going to expect the world to change today.
That's Ed Thomas. He's the longtime president of the Tlingit Haida Central Council. He says subsistence is the highest priority for tribes in Alaska. The federal government oversees the subsistence programs, and Thomas worries it's shirking a key responsibility to manage the populations of fish and game.
And we have not seen good movement from the administration on fixing those problems. From my perspective, I'm a manager-type person. I don't see enough money budgeted to manage fish and game resources on federal lands.
The Tribal Nations Conference is a gathering of representatives of each of the 566 federally recognized tribes. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance in public view, and the crux of the day happens behind closed doors. The attendees break into groups to discuss issues that matter most to their people. Thomas says his session focused on the government-to-government relationship. And he brought up the money his people are owed for indirect costs, the operating costs of running an Indian Health Service site or a Bureau of Indian Affairs program.
If you got a contract, it takes a certain amount of money to manage that contract because you have facilities, you have executive direction, all those things.
Thomas says that despite any concrete agreements at the conference, he's optimistic the government will resolve any issues because, he says, it's conferences like these that show they're still willing to talk. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.